Good morning. Welcome to Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. Today, I'm speaking with Dani Show, formerly Dani Reardon, who was on Lionheart Radio back when she was a professional bodybuilder. Today, we talk about her transition in life and her evolution through consciousness and all of the things that she's been exploring lately. This was a great conversation, and she's currently doing amazing things in the world. So, enjoy.
These days, I know it gets hard, we can't be exposed to so much dark every minute. Oh, but trust me when I say there's a light, and there's a love and there's a way. So if your world gets heavy and your fire burns low, your road gets rough and your heart runs cold, just let it breathe like the wind through the trees. Let it flow with ease like an ocean breeze. Take it all in.
So you had this moment where you walked away from competitive sport, mm-hmm. and you got married in the same, all at the same time.
Yeah.
What was the, I guess, did you plan on having so many life transitions at once?
No.
And I'll get to why I'm asking later.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I did not expect that to happen. So before I quit competing, September 2017, I had been wanting to go plant-based. And I
couldn't. That's the conversation we actually had. You were getting ready to go plant-based when we talked on the last podcast channel.
Okay. So then I did, right backstage. I threw out all my meat containers right like after I was done. And I got sick. So I was like, all right, well, fuck it. I'm not going to, this doesn't matter anyway. So it actually made it really easy for me to go plant-based. So I threw out everything backstage, and so that was one thing that changed my whole, everything I was eating. I was
so like, your diet?
My diet, everything.
Right. From a cellular level is just a massive shift.
Oh my God.
I went vegan I did an ayahuasca ceremony last month. Yeah. And so I went vegan for the first time in preparation for that. Mm-hmm. And that was hard. I mean, just because I felt different.
Yeah, you definitely feel different. And there is a transition period. There's an element of like letting go of an old story and an old way of doing things and totally. An old belief system that this is the way it needs to be, and then going into a whole new belief system that's more compassion-based and that actually is much healthier for you. There's like so much science on it now. But I mean, you could be a vegan and eat potato chips and french fries and still be considered vegan, so there has to be a balance and a healthy way to do it.
Yes.
That kicked off the transition, and then I wasn't really sure that I was gonna quit until I started prepping for the Arnold.
Because you were gonna compete vegan, that was the plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the plan. And then a couple months later, I got married. So, and there's like a post-show depression, and there's like this thing after you get married where all of these things that you've been working for me, it was 10 years. So me and Ian have been together like now 10 years. So then it was like 8. But two things that I had been working for the majority of my adult life were gone, were done. And I changed my last name, changed my diet. I was done competing and I got married. I'm like, I don't even know who the F I am right now. It was like such a crazy, scary spot for me to be because I was very sure of everything before that.
Yeah, and you know, one of the themes that's come up a lot this year, and it's actually one of the most popular shows, was with this guy Keegan Dillon, and we talked about evolving through strength and sort of evolving yourself. Mm-hmm. And so as you were evolving, did you feel the outside pressure? Because you have a decent following, mm-hmm. right? Probably decent as being conservative. So you have a good following, and a lot of people there's a lot of eyes on what you're doing. How did that contribute to the... that moment, I guess not that moment, but that period, that season of your life.
That was really tough because my tribe, my people were like the most important thing to me. And so for probably the last show, I was competing for them because I knew people were looking up to me to get them through, like they were getting through their prep because I was getting through my prep, and I was making these videos and everyone was like, I was watching your videos all the way, you know, through my show prep, and it was getting me through my cardio. And like to know that that was going to be gone for them was literally the hard, I still struggle with it.
Because you were documenting your process and people were using that for their inspiration.
Yeah. And then to think about them going through their shows without me was like kind of heartbreaking. Like I wasn't really sure. I didn't know that that was going to hit me as hard as it did.
Yeah.
And actually my deciding speaking about ayahuasca and plant medicine, my deciding factor for quitting was actually during a mushroom trip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which have become my medicine, my everything lately.
Sure.
So I did, we took a bunch of mushrooms, and it was probably like my first real trip. And I had this vision of like me taking a selfie outside of like Mount Fuji. Like there's this big, beautiful mountain behind us. Maybe it was Colorado. And then my next thought was I have to get up in the morning and do cardio. And I was like, what am I doing with my life on a stepper? And I had done that, you know, I've been competing since I was 15. So 15 to 27 was like balls to the wall. This is what I'm made to do. And then I had that trip and I was like, there's so much more than being in LA fitness on a stepper.
Right.
And I was just, it was all day, every day for me. It was either, you know, cardio, it was training or cooking or posting. So everything was planned. That.
Right.
There was no traveling. And if I did travel, it was to a hotel room where I saw that. And then I went to go guest pose on a stage.
Right.
So there wasn't very much like freedom.
Like, so it's a life, but it costs you something. And that's something probably just for people listening to this that do aspire to things in their life is really to think through that cost, right? That lifestyle cost, that energetic cost.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And at one point, it didn't feel like a cost. Like, the hard work is easy. Like, the diet was easy. All of the things were super easy. And then it just got to a point where it felt like it wasn't serving me anymore. Mm. And I feel like I started to realize this with, like, the sponsors. And they sort of burnt me out. And that's no fault to them. It's my own personal thing. But they were like, you know, post 4 times a week, 20% off, protein shit. And I was just like, that to me was just like soul crushing.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I was getting paid a couple $1,000s a month. But then the male bodybuilders who I was ranked higher than in the Olympia were getting like triple what I was getting for the same amount of work. And so I was just like, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And so I really got burnt out with posting for them. I just everything felt super icky. And then so I quit right after the mushroom trip. I quit Redcon. I was like, fuck that. I'm getting rid of stuff that doesn't serve me and that doesn't feel good. So then I quit that and I was like, oh my God, that feels so good. I feel so free. And then I was just like, I'm done bodybuilding. And that felt really free. But it took me probably a year to say it out loud. I'm like, I'm just taking a break. I need to get my money right. I need to, you know, we're married. I need to get this together. And then I eventually was just like, I think I'm really free and peaceful right now, not thinking about cardio and water and food and all of the things that go into competing. And it was just, there was so much noise in my head. And I think the mushrooms actually helped me. And I kept experimenting with mushrooms and kept going down that way. They're very helpful.
So, okay, I do want to get into that a little bit. As you made this transition and you realized how many people were sort of counting on, but just using you as something to breathe life into their own journey, right, to inspire them, did you notice while it was happening, because you said that kind of blindsided you a little bit, I think one thing that I just would love to shine a spotlight on for a minute is the fact that, like, we carry other people's expectations and comfort on our shoulders. And I guess, like, what was your process for letting that go? Because I think, you know, that's one thing, you know, with your journey, but I think a lot of people are carrying their parents' expectations of them and their, you know, their siblings' expectations, their families, whatever. How did you go about untangling that sort of service and sacrifice in your head?
I still think it's there. Like, there's still a little bit that makes me feel guilty, or like I feel like I'm letting people down, because I still get messages in my inbox all the time like, can you come back to competing? We miss you on the stage. Where are your videos? Are you going to make more training videos? And like, I don't even care to train right now. I'd rather do yoga.
Right.
So it's just like a big shift. But I've become more and more okay with it as I'm stepping into this. Like, I've actually been coming back to social media in a very strong way lately, and it's kind of helping me let go of that, like needing to compete to show other people how to compete. And so now I'm coming back in more of a light of service, instead of like, hey, look at me and my trophies and my Olympia and my. Mm. Now I'm like, hey, how can I help you get through yours? So I created a contest prep masterclass.
Saw that.
And so that to me has been my way back to help and to help get people through their journey, but even in a more intimate way. Like, I know them, I know what show they're doing versus just like they're watching me from afar.
Oh, cool.
So that has helped me feel like I'm not letting people down.
I bet.
Yeah.
And I bet just bringing, you know, I think it's probably due, but just bringing more awareness and consciousness into such an aesthetically driven like world, right? Sport, everything. How has that been received?
So good.
Really?
So much better than I thought. I'm calling it Conscious Champion.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, because I want to bring in the mind, body, and spirit. And I think that that was why I was so successful at a young age. Like, I was at the Olympia at 24, or 25. But I was so connected to my prep and to my soul and to my mind state that I think that's what helped me really progress so quickly. And that's what I want to teach. And I think the more people I tell about it, they're like, oh my God, this is so necessary. Like, this is, nobody's doing this in the industry at all.
Totally.
And I don't know why nobody's doing it. Maybe because they don't want to be too woo-woo about it. Maybe they're afraid to toe that line, and I'm not. Like, right. I will go anywhere. Right. So I think it's been a really cool way for me to come out and to do this and to connect and like to help people with like the comparison game, the doubt and the fear and the limiting beliefs and all of these things that coaches don't touch on to no fault to their own. It's not their genius. They're there to give you carbs and cardio, right, not to deal with the basket case that's going on in your head. All competitors do that.
Right.
So I want to get in and I want to, you know, help the mental state be stronger. And I want to help the spiritual connection be better, because I think bodybuilding and fitness can be such a beautiful teacher and such a beautiful master. And especially when you go through a contest prep, it really makes something out of you. And I think if you're really connected to your spirit, then it'll really make something great out of you. Like Arnold, I don't know that he spoke about it. I haven't really looked, but I feel like that he was very spiritually connected to his contest prep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, is I was being interviewed on another show a while back, and I was talking about trying to move through the world more consciously and more holistically and just sort of connected to the whole entire process instead of suppressing for performance, right? Which is what you see a lot of in the athletic world. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about how like Michael Jordans and the Tom Brady's of the world tend to manufacture chips on their shoulder and like really be in a very adversarial relationship with their sport and with their training. And I thought, we don't get to like go back and see, like, you know, I think the world's shifting right now and we are amidst some sort of consciousness expansion in humanity. And so maybe we don't get to go back and see what would they be if they were more connected, right? We don't know. And so I think maybe it's just the next, you know, people like you that are leading that revolution. I think maybe we'll see something much more conducive to everybody and people not having to compete at the cost of their own health, you know, because you do see a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I noticed with you in our show that we did on Lionheart Radio is it didn't seem to be that way. Like there's a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, I don't really know any kind of percentage, but I've talked to bodybuilders that really do seem to compete at the cost of their health. And I think you see that at the high level of any sport, really, but I didn't feel that with you. And so have you always had this natural connection to your, I don't know, inner knowing or soul or however you describe it?
I don't, maybe yes, but I didn't know it. So I was cheerleading and weightlifting in high school. And that was when I first started to tap into sports. And I remember I would like visualize myself doing a certain tumbling pass. But I don't know that I knew I was being spiritually connected in that moment, but I always took sports very seriously. They were very personal to me, and it was a feat of mental, physical, everything. So, but bodybuilding showed it to me. I think bodybuilding taught it to me because I just feel like you have to. Sometimes you're at such a low place and you want to give up, and there has to be something else that gets you through, or that, you know, I used to like transcend doing cardio, like on the stepper, and I would just close my eyes and just totally be somewhere else. And that's what I'm teaching my group now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But I think through that and through the trial and error, I learned the spiritual connection. And now looking back on it, I was so much more connected than I even knew then. And when I quit, I lost that. I was like, whoa. Like that was probably the scariest thing about it for me.
A connection to your body and to...
to my soul. Like yeah. I used to speak from this wisdom and come up with like fight over fear and work out the doubt and all of these like these things I would just pull from.
That you were finding in training.
Yeah. And I would just like get these downloads of this way to think and this way to be and hoodie up and get into your body, not your what's in the mirror. And without bodybuilding, I didn't know how to go there. I wasn't like, I wasn't tapped in anymore. And that to me was like scary. And I found it a little bit through psychedelics. Mm-hmm. But then I found it even more through yoga. When I came here, I started doing yoga more and more and more. And after about a month doing it straight, because it was my safe spot, I was like, okay, so this is ticking my physical box. And it was hot, so I felt like I was in my hoodie on the stepper again.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is mentally hard because I have to stick through this pose. And I'm spiritually connected and learning the beauty and the silence. And so it was really cool how, and then I got connected again. And I was like, oh my God, okay.
Yeah,
I'm back. Yeah. I got this.
Yeah, like reclaimed a part of yourself.
Oh, yes, and it reclaimed like my voice on social media and like my okayness with like I didn't want to be a little monster anymore because I felt like this put me in a fitness box and all these expectations of if I post as Little Monster, are people going to think that I need to be competing and be in the gym again? And that's why I changed like my Instagram name.
Okay.
But yoga gave me that connection again and gave me that authentic like power again.
Mm. And you are teaching yoga now?
Yes.
That's great.
Yes. I'm like 6 classes deep.
So you're new to this.
I'm a newbie, but it's I love it. It's that's an honor. Great.
I was thinking I want to go through the teacher training just to go through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. You know, what's interesting is I found yoga as well in like after transitioning out of the military, I realized how I think I operated in more of an adversarial relationship with myself, and like I could succeed almost despite myself, right? Like I could cut my brain off and I could go somewhere at the cost of my health a lot of times. And I think yoga for me was also that middle ground where I started coming back into the body and having more of a somatic experience and understanding that. And then through that, I actually have worked my way back into fitness, which has been great.
Yes.
So it's been that for a lot of people, I think.
Yes. It's such a good way to get back into fitness. And this girl taught a yoga class I was in, and she was pretty jacked. I was like, yo, yeah. What are you doing? Do you compete? And she said she used to, like 25 years ago. She doesn't even look old enough to be 25 years past competing. That's what yoga does. And I'm like, I'm doing it forever. But it took me a yogi to get back into lifting. When I came here, I was like, I don't want to be in the gym, whatever. Just like didn't care about it. But then when I saw her and she was teaching us yoga and she was kind of jacked, I was like, okay, like I'm feeling a little bit inspired by you right now. And so that kind of like, I was like, got me excited for the gym again.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So for people that are going through this sort of major transition in their life or even considering one, do you have anything, like, I mean, I guess what would you say to the people that go through, that are in that moment where you become detached from who you were and what you were doing and the life that you did have? And there is that, I don't know how long it lasted for you, but that moment where you do feel a bit in space, like not grounded, not connected to identity in some way. How would you suggest that people start working their way back into reclaiming those parts of themselves?
So not forcing anything, like not forcing any of your old habits. I feel like there's a part of like pulling away from everything and kind of crawling into a little hermit hole and kind of shutting out everything. Because when you try to like fill these voids or answer to people or do these things when you're not done yet, you could go back into the old ways and like you're not done forming your spirit again. So for me, it was really helpful to shut everything off and to just be afraid, be uncomfortable, say yes to everything like we talked about, and to just go and to just see what feels right and to follow the good feeling. So the reason why I moved to Colorado was because my sister was here, so family, and I haven't been around her for a while.
Okay.
And nature. Two things I didn't really get in Florida. Florida for me was very much bodybuilding, and you could go outside, but like for most of the year, you don't really want to be outside because it's hot and sticky. So like, that was what brought me here. And those were the only two things that felt good, was my sister and nature. Didn't even know yoga was going to come, but I knew there were mountains. I knew there was so much to do outside.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to be on a stepper. So that brought me here. And I just kept following the good feeling. I did yoga for like 8 months, and then yoga teacher training popped up. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go that way. And then I kept kind of following that. And then, you know, it's like getting uncomfortable too, like getting out of your comfort zone, but getting comfortable there. So lately I've been very comfortable out of my comfort zone. And I think that starts to open new opportunities and new things to start putting your energy into.
Yeah.
So I think there's a part of shutting everything off and being okay going inside yourself and listening to what feels good. And then little step by little step, following that.
Mm.
again.
Yeah, I think you know, it's like everybody talks about the being outside of the comfort zone. But I do think that one of the things that happens is we tend to only want to be uncomfortable with ways that we're comfortable with, you know, like, and so I found the same thing, which is why I think your advice is so incredible, because when I felt that detachedness and I had transitioned out of the military, I found that if I tried to force myself back into stuff, I fell right back into the old patterns. Like, I'd go in the gym and I'd have the same narratives and stuff, and I'm like, oh, I'm still not through this for whatever reason. And I think what I needed to do really was what you're saying, which is just step back and have a little bit of grace and compassion toward yourself and understand that you've patterned this way for 30 years or however old you are, and so it's not going to be a quick process.
Yeah, it's not going to be a quick process. Yeah, and I didn't even know what to say or, like, what to do. But I think there is an element of just, like, going within and just shutting everything off. Like, family, friends, just be like, listen, I just need... And there's a time for that. Like, what I realized is that there's a time for everything. There's a time to kill it. Whatever you're doing, there's a time to put all of your energy in and just run it.
For sure.
And there's a time to be quiet and go inside and to figure that out before you kill it in something. So I think there's a time for both. And then there's a time to be an extrovert and there's a time to be an introvert. And I think if you're okay in whatever time that it is for you, just trust that it's the time for that.
Mm. Yeah, and what you're seeing, I think, is the sort of, you could say, yin and yang, or just the yes. the two, the masculine and feminine energies working. Like, there is a time for inquiry and there is a time for doing, and just realizing, regardless of if you're a girl or a guy by gender, like, just realizing, like, what's the season in my life actually calling for right now? Like, what's the energy I need to lean into? And you'll know when you are, you know, for example, getting out of the military, I started spending a lot of time in yoga studios. I started really asking myself deeper questions, and I'm sort of like really embodying a lot more of the feminine energy that I was not, that you totally learn to like avoid in the military. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after a while you see the season, it's like, okay, I think it's time to like start doing more and start, you know, being a little more directive with what I say and do. And I think if you are, but it's hard to listen to yourself in that way, right? Because we want what we want and we want to force things and mm-hmm. make it work.
And it's confusing and it's messy and it doesn't make sense why the thing that used to light you up and like doesn't anymore. And that for me was crazy. And I remember feeling that with cheerleading, which was it was great that I had been through that, because cheerleading for me was like bodybuilding was. Mm. I was on four different teams by the time I was a senior, captain of everything I could be, and just like loved cheerleading. I wanted to go to UCF to be there. I made the cheerleading team, but I didn't get into the college.
Oh, damn.
And then eventually the fire just went out because I found bodybuilding, and that was like the next chapter.
Right.
So when bodybuilding's fire went out, and I thought I was going to be 80 on that stage, I was like, I will be competing forever. And then the fire just went out, and I just remember feeling that with cheerleading, and I was just like being okay with that. I was like, okay, I've been here before.
Mm.
Yeah, and there was a time where there was nothing else. Like, it was just complete tunnel vision. Like, with, I'm sure with the military, like, it was just, that was just what you were doing, and that was all there was. And then there was a time where you're like, I want to explore a different side of myself. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The question I've been asking lately is, like, who do you become if you don't listen to that voice?
Mm.
You know, because, and I don't know, because I do listen to it, but in that road's hell in itself, like, you're, you know, you go through the detachment and the realizing that you've lost some things that you really loved. But then at the other part of that is, say you don't go through that discomfort. It's like, but then who do you become?
Mm.
I'm not that interested in that person.
Right. You become who everybody wants you to be.
Totally.
You just start to bow down to everybody else. And,
yeah.
And then you lose yourself even more. So when you stop listening to everybody else, which hopefully that'll happen, but maybe just years down the road, then I feel like you're in an even bigger spot trying to listen to yourself after you haven't for so long and let go of expectations, what everybody wants you to be.
Yeah.
I feel like it just becomes, you know, you dig yourself into an even deeper hole.
And you know what sucks? It's like you're still you, and you still know you have these gifts, but you become almost trapped behind them in a way, because that's what I felt at the end of the military. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm wanting to write, I'm wanting to speak, and I'm wanting to explore the world just without constraint, right? Yeah. Really, that's what I was looking for, and I wanted to just figure it out. But so I felt almost trapped behind my gifts. It's like, I have them, but there's such a mismatch, and how do I deliver them? So you almost like keep fulfillment or meaning or something like out of your reach when you do that, it seems like.
Yes, like true fulfillment.
Totally.
Yeah, and like you can kind of get it, but it's not purposeful. And like for the first time, since bodybuilding, I feel purposeful.
Mm.
And I didn't even know that until probably yesterday. It was a huge day of like recording and building my course. And I did a podcast, my own. I started my first show.
Oh, hell yeah. What's it called?
Light Side.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to be just anything that would provide value and just
light up
people's lives. No, I just, okay. So I recorded the first one and his name is Nayam, spiritual bodybuilder. I post about him sometimes.
Cool.
And so I'm going to do one of me first. But so yesterday I just felt super purposeful. I'm like, oh my God, I feel purposeful. And I haven't felt that. And I didn't even know that was going to come out of me since I was competing.
Mm.
Like to wake up with a purpose every day. And that's what I missed with competing is like you wake up and you know what you need to do every day because you're going towards this huge goal. And without something like that, it's like life doesn't feel as fulfilling. And I think when people leave competing, that's the big depression. Is not necessarily how you look, like that's some of it, but I think it's waking up with something to do every day.
Yeah
and yoga was kind of hitting it for me, but I didn't want to wake up and teach every day. I just want to do that because it's out of my comfort zone and it's an honor to do, but it's not what I want to do and be known for. So I was like, yeah, that's great, but it's not it.
Mm.
So
I'm not sure how many podcasts you've done in the last. So how long has it been since you quit?
Bodybuilding? 2.5 years.
Okay. So I'm sure that like to some degree, maybe you're probably over having that conversation. Like what, you know, but so what is it, I guess, that lights you up right now? I think that's a perfect segue. You said yesterday you woke up with a lot of purpose. Is it giving back to the community? Like what is it for you that's really lighting you up now?
Yeah, that's it, just being in an act of service, no matter what it is. So light side, I want to contribute to people's happiness and to light up their life a little bit, like change their perspective on the way to look at things. Like there's a light and a dark side to everything.
Totally.
And I think that's where the name came from too, was like I
was gonna ask you about that.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Jedis and light side, dark side, like the force I believe is neutral, it's just with the energy that we give it.
Okay.
So light side comes from that, and then I spelled it PSYDE because I'm into psychedelics and I'm into changing perspectives and the way people look and spell things and shaking that up a little bit. What lights me up now is to make people happy. Like I'm also life coaching. So my coaching practice is twofold. It's one side of it is life coaching. So I have some clients who are looking for themselves.
Mm.
They're just lost in many ways. They're just like lost their spiritual connection, but they've had it before. So they know that they can get it back, but they don't know how. So I'm almost like the little guiding light. And I'm like, this way, come on, meditate this way. And then helping them get in touch with their bodies again. But all of that leads to their happiness. And my sister gave me a plaque, a little thing by the Dalai Lama, and I stared at it since I've been done competing. And it just basically says, we're here for 90 or 100 years, and in that time, we must try to do something good, something useful with our lives. If you contribute to other people's happiness, you will find the true meaning of life. And so that's been my goal.
Yeah, the meaning's always hidden somewhere you can't articulate exactly. It's always in the doing or the experience, the unfolding of experience, and it just like hits you in a way when you see someone. You, at least for me, I've noticed like when I'm speaking and I see the light bulb turn on for somebody, I'm like, oh, that's the meaning of life. I'll never be able to say what that is or why, but that's it. It just happened for me.
Yes, that's
great. So do you want to talk a little bit about your first psychedelic experience?
Sure.
So you mentioned perspective shifting.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that has been the number one thing that I've gained from any kind of plant medicine really is, at least at first, it was seeing something that you just see that things can be different. That like from a different point, there is a different view. And if you have a different perspective, maybe you see the path that gets you out of the mess you're in.
Yes.
What was your first experience like?
Oh my God, it was so fun. And so it was mushrooms.
Okay.
I believe it was penis envies, which are very visual.
It's psilocybin.
Psilocybin. But
okay. I don't know the different, I guess.
Strains of them.
Strains, yeah.
Yeah, there's like golden teachers, stargazers, penis envies. Those are usually more visual, more psychedelic. Like you see a bunch of lava lamps and shit everywhere.
Okay.
But it's beautiful. It's
right,
so,
right.
I remember.
Everything's vivid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very vivid. And I remember, oh my God, just so I had done, actually, before this, I had done DMT.
Okay.
So, but I thought that so DMT was my first like trip.
That was your first one?
Well, I had done
Say, that's a rocket ship right into the cosmos.
That is a rocket ship. So I guess, okay, so my first most memorable was that mushroom trip. But before that, I had actually already done LSD and mushrooms, but the mushroom trip wasn't super powerful. The LSD trip actually was. And it was really just perspective changing. Like, I remember my husband figuring out that he could create anything that he wanted in the universe. And that was something that I was talking a lot about, is manifesting and creating. At that time, I was still competing. So I was in that. So that was like his big perspective change. But my biggest perspective change was that mushroom trip. And it was playful. It was like I was connecting to my inner child, and I hadn't been there because I was so serious with competing. Mm-hmm. And I like held an Oreo for like 2 hours in my hand. I was like, this is my pet and this is mine and you can't eat it. And
yeah.
So I carried around an Oreo for like 2 hours, and I went outside and I did whatever I wanted to do. I went outside and I sat by a tree for a little bit and like leaned up against it. And I, was holding my Oreo, and I went, and when the trip was coming on, I was like sitting in a chair, kind of wrapped up in a blanket with my eyes closed. And I started to have this DMT trip. And I was like, I like opened my eyes a couple minutes later, let it kind of go. And then I was like, it's all the same. Everything's the same. DMT, mushrooms, ayahuasca, they all felt the same at this closed-eyed visual level.
Oh, interesting.
And I knew, like, scientifically, molecularly, they're all kind of a subset of DMT.
Right.
They're just a little different.
Right.
And so that, for me, was super eye-opening, was just that. And I was like, oh, my God, this whole world, this whole spirit world, I'm connected to by these medicines. And so that was amazing. And I remember going and looking at my face in the mirror. Whoa. And it like, yeah, crazy.
I don't go anywhere near mirrors. Right. I'm like, no way.
Shit gets weird.
Yeah.
And I leaned in and like looked into my own eyes. And you know those mirrors that look like they go on forever? And it's like some sort of like weird mirror, like in a clown house or
something.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's like mirror, like just keeps going.
Yeah, that's what I saw in my eyes, of just like this, just like huge dimension. And I was like, what do you want? Like, who are you? And at this point, I think I'd already thought about stopping competing or quitting my sponsors. And I'm like, what do you want to do? And I wanted to be vegan. I wanted to go play outside. I wanted to go sit by a tree and eat Oreos and like do whatever the fuck I wanted to do, not what the industry wanted, not what my coach wanted, not what these sponsors wanted. And so it was this really cool thing of me like figuring out me and connecting to my inner child. And I just wanted to play.
Yeah.
And not be looked at and scrutinized and like all these eyes and this chaos always on me. And it gave me peace for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that is such a powerful lesson, is like you already knew what you wanted in some way, right? But you wouldn't let yourself see it or feel it or do it or something. And I find that to be often, there's a really good, I think it's a Buddhist parable, but there's a really good Buddhist lesson which essentially says that we end up creating hell in our lives because we don't know what we want. And so we end up chasing all of these things, and we're chasing everything, and we're getting nothing. And so we just chase more and more pleasure. And so it's like in Buddhism, instead of hell, it's called like the Narika world. And so it's like they conceptualize it as a wheel. And so you chase up the wheel of desire, but you keep chasing, and you don't know what you want. And so then you end up in the underworld and you're chasing it through the bottom, right? And then what they're saying is most people that end up in that state have this very deep subconscious desire to end up there. And it's, I don't know where that conversation goes, but it's just so interesting to me because I'm realizing even in my life, it's like, I knew I wanted to be a writer. I knew I wanted to be a speaker, right? It's like, but for whatever reason, all of the patterns and the limitations and the expectations just don't allow us to like almost recognize our own inner knowing, I guess you could say. Something along those lines.
Yeah, we get stuck in like this, like wheel of suffering.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Sometimes we don't even know that we're on it. Sometimes it's almost like an addiction. Like it's like we like to be on this wheel of suffering.
And that's why I hate to say it, because like it's like you think I want my life to suck. It's like, no, I don't think you want to. But I think somewhere deeply, maybe you don't know what you want. And so you're chasing.
100%.
Again, I don't know where that conversation goes because it's a hard to get, you know, part of this, and I'm wondering if you've experienced that too, is like part of this going through this sort of eye-opening experience and getting deeper into self is you realize how many people aren't.
Yes.
And there's a massive disconnect in language and in doing, and you just see that we're like in the same world, but we're living in much different places a lot of the times.
Yes. And that breaks my heart. That was probably the hardest thing to learn when I started life coaching. Was I was speaking to this man, and I don't think he's not my client now. I just talk to him every once in a while. And he was so depressed. I mean, crying to me. He's probably almost 60 and just on the phone, just in and out of tears. And after I got off the phone with him, I was really not okay with thinking that there were so many people sitting in their houses feeling so low and so depressed and like they're worth nothing. And that was really hard for me to think about, because I think there are a lot more people doing that than they are like enjoying the birds and enjoying the grass, and like it's all right in front of all of us. And I think we get so caught up into this negative like wheel of suffering.
Yeah.
And we don't get off of it. Like, we want to lose weight, but we don't go to the gym. And it's like these, you know, this wheel. So that was probably the hardest thing for me, was to see that people don't see the world as a miracle.
Yeah.
They see it as a hostile universe.
And that's why I like your reference to light all the time, because I feel like when people start improving their lives and they really start feeling it and they start, you know, trusting themselves and becoming someone that they really love, one of the things that you notice is all of a sudden, like, it's probably early on in the evolution, is that they want to change everybody else, you know, and you people don't change if they don't want to change. There's like nothing. But what you can do is be a light. Right. It's like the light. It doesn't. I wrote about it in my new book a little bit, but it's like light doesn't. It doesn't. I can't think of the word I use, but it doesn't distinguish between good or bad. It just shines. Right.
Yeah.
And so it just is the beacon that people need. And so that's all you can do, really.
Yeah. That's all you can do, is just be that beacon and show them the way and like lead by example and, you know, vibration. Right. So I feel I take my vibration very seriously, because I know when I'm around other people, I affect them. Like, totally. We're all water and we're all exchanging energy in some way. So especially when teaching yoga and you're holding the space for 30 people, you can't come in there stressed out, because people are going to feel your energy. Like, you're leading them and guiding them. And so I'm really careful about my energy these days, and I make sure I have my morning set up. So when I'm talking to my clients, when I'm talking to my friends or my family or just somebody random on the street, that happens way often.
Yeah.
I want to leave them better than when I found them.
Yeah.
Whether it even just is a smile.
Yeah. Yeah. Just letting your energy be an invitation for them to vibrate higher. Right. Yes, but yes. Not trying to force anything.
Yeah. Cause forcing that, then there's like a defense that they put up.
Totally.
But if you just are, then they just are.
It just gives them permission to be.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I love what you said about like all of the suffering, because it's something that, to me, it's like, I think we're reaching a point where the pendulum's got to come back at some point. And I'm hopeful that we're at such a low. And I say that only because, like, you see suicide is going up and the opioid epidemic is going up. And to me, it's like, why isn't anybody asking what we're trying to escape from?
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're all trying to like put these band-aids over gunshot wounds, and it's like, maybe we just stop the guy that's shooting, you know?
Yeah, yes.
Like, that's what we need to figure out. And in Denver, you see it a lot, because I mean, the homeless population is so bad.
Yeah.
There's something like 5,800 homeless people just in the city right here right now. So the suffering is very in your face when you're living here, I've realized.
Yes. It definitely is. And I'm like, why don't you guys go somewhere warmer? Like, it's freaking 4 degrees out.
That's what I always think.
Like, go to Florida. Like, not that I want them in Florida, not here, but I'm just like, it makes me sad to see them, like, all the bundled up and all the, it just seems very cold to be homeless.
Yeah. I would walk my happy ass to San Diego ASAP.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't matter how long it takes. Like, nothing matters. It's so miserable out there, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Without the weather. Okay, cool. So, how can people support you now and what you're doing and just sort of be part of this tribe that you're creating?
I guess just follow me. Join the tribe on Instagram.
And that's Lightside on Instagram.
Yeah, Lightside. Yep. And
awesome.
It's LIGHTPSYDE. So like side. And yeah, I say join the light side. And so after I came up with the name, I was like, oh my God, I love it. So light side, yes. And then my YouTube channel is still Little Monstar, but I'm changing that probably this weekend, because
okay.
I'm going to start putting my podcast stuff on there, my conversations.
Oh, cool.
And that's pretty much it. Just live more present. So to your point about what are we averting from, what are we numbing?
Yeah.
we're numbing like the present moment. And I think if people live with more presence and more consciousness and like mindfulness and what they're doing, then that's, I think, how we can also join the light side and start to raise the vibration of the planet and the people that we're around.
Mm. So one day I'm going to learn to tell the guests before the show what the final question is, but this isn't that day. So the final question, I've not told you at all, is if you could have morning coffee with anybody in the world, dead or alive, who would you have morning coffee with, and what would you want to talk about? Coffee to me, you know, the reason I called the show Morning Coffee is like I realized even in the when I was going through like that those moments of detached, it was like that first sip of like just appreciating that first sip of coffee in the morning and having like a just a I guess just like an enlightening conversation about life or a deep conversation. It was like I always felt like when I did that, I was planting seeds, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like you never know what those grow into. And so that's kind of the impetus behind the name of the show and stuff. So,
oh, I love that.
And the final question.
Okay, so the first one that comes up for me is Oprah.
Great one.
She does what I mean, I've if I could be anybody's kid, it would be like Oprah, Joe Rogan, Eckhart Tolle had a baby and it was me.
Yeah.
So, but Oprah is kind of like, she's that spiritual voice, I feel like, and she connects the world with this value and all of these beautiful spiritual leaders.
Yeah.
And now that I'm doing my course and the podcast and I'm sort of taking on the more of the interviewer role, I'm seeing how awesome that is. Like, what a beautiful way to serve. And so I think that she's somebody that I look up to and I'd love to just be in her presence. And something I always said about Oprah was she's famous or successful or gets paid to be herself.
Better than anybody.
Probably better. And that's what I am like. My dream job would be to just be myself and just hang out with my friends and be there for people in whatever way that is. Like, I don't want to be a lawyer or a doctor. I'd like to be some sort of healer, but maybe I can do that with my words or my beingness. But I think Oprah is just herself, and that's probably why I admire her the most, is because she's made her life out of just being her. It's like, she doesn't have to, like an actress, you know, that they play roles and they're famous for their roles, not for who they are. So that's who I want to talk to is Oprah.
Yeah, that's a great one. I mean, she really, you can think back, like, because she's been in the public eye for so long that to evolve and to be as open as she is at this point is pretty, pretty wild. I thought about that the other day.
Yeah, and I just love her authenticity and how she's just her.
Yeah, and to your point, I think whether we say it or not, that's what we all want, right? So just be us, to just be seen for who we are and to be accepted for that person.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Dani, thanks for joining me.
Oh my God, thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
These days I know it gets hard, we can't be exposed to so much dark every minute. Oh, but trust me when I say there's a light, there's a love and there's a way. So if your world gets heavy and your fire burns low, your road gets rough and your heart runs cold, just let it breathe like the wind through the trees. Let it flow with ease like an ocean breeze. Take it all in. Let it all out. Take it all in. Yeah, let it all out. Sometimes I know it gets tough. You lie in bed at night wondering if you're enough. Well, trust me now when I say you are. But no matter what, this life at times will break you apart. So if your world gets heavy and your fire burns low, your road gets rough and your heart runs cold, just let it breathe like the wind through the trees. Let it flow with ease like an ocean breeze. Take it all in. Let it all out. Take it all in. Let it. it all out. So if your day gets crazy, don't think there's nothing that you can do. Yeah, when your day gets crazy, just find that calm within you. Let it breathe through the wind, through the trees. Let it flow with ease, like an ocean breeze. Take it all in. Let it all out. Take it all in. Let it all out. Yeah, take it all in. Oh, let it all out. Take it all in. Let it all out. Let it all out. Na 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 na.